Welcome to Nintendo Dads episode 88. On tonight's show, Zach is back with a soundboard that works effectively. Plus, we talk and discuss the latest NX rumors. Pokemon Go Plus gets delayed. Plus, we've got some Pokemon Pro tips for you. And Level 5 made some announcements that we should probably discuss. Plus, your questions, voicemails. Yes, dear God, there are voicemails. And so much more. Zach, press that button, sir.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson and tonight is July 27th, 2016. Joining me after my sojourn away from podcast land for a whole 2 weeks I missed last week. Justin Mastin, what's going on, Justin?
Hey, I'm doing all right, buddy. It's good to have you back on the show. We're like ships crossing in the night, missing each other. You even came down to my city and didn't say hi.
I know. You know what? It's a funny thing when you go and visit family and there's like a million families and you're only around for a while. There's just not enough of me to go around. Speaking of not enough to go around.
Not enough to go around.
Jesse Waldeck from VGTribune.com. What's going on, Jesse?
So did you like our wheel of bumpers that we were playing
last did. Week? I did. I loved the fact that I'm a kid, I'm a squid got in there. That was great.
That was for Dave. That was for Dave specifically.
Very good. No, I did like it actually. It was very, very well done and I enjoyed it. Actually, I said this on Twitter afterwards, but Justin went on a little bit of a rant and he seemed self-conscious about it. You know, getting on his soapbox and calling this generation of fathers to a greater calling or something. And I actually thought it was really awesome. So yeah, it was awesome.
Thank you, sir. I love getting on my soapboxes and seeing what happens.
Yeah. No, put down your controllers, everyone, and it was awesome. So you guys did awesome without me. I wasn't worried for a second, and now I've quickly taken back the controls to this boat. I don't know, whatever.
He doesn't want us to break it.
All right, you've had your fun. Now give it back. All right. Let's head into the notes and the news, shall we?
Do it.
Oh, wait, hang on. There, the soundboard kind of works back. All right. So, of course, the news is brought to us by...
Brought to us by 1UpBox.com. Hey, guys. If you are like on listening to us right now, take a moment, pause, head over to our YouTube channel, because as we speak right now, I have just published an unboxing video from 1UpBox.com, July's box, which is squads. Very cool. You guys should check it out. If you love getting geeky box, geeky boxes from 1UpBox.com, head over there, use the code NintendoDads for saving money off your first box, your first month. So yeah, thank you to 1UpBox.com for your subscription and your partnership.
Right on. Of course, Brian Welch, I think, is in the chat room. He says, yeah, the Beard has a great show. The Beard says, have a great show. Thank you, Beard. Yeah, right on. The Beard is sassy.
I love that people jump in and watch our show live.
The Beard abides. That. Nice. The Beard abides. I don't think we've ever had a episode title so early. Right on. So this week, obviously, we had some crazy rumors, and I don't know what it is about these rumors, and maybe you guys can explain this to me, but everybody, it seemed like these rumors were way more credible this time, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because they came from Eurogamer. What is the reputation of Eurogamer? I don't know. I actually would need to check to see how reputable this is. But it seemed like this was a little bit more like people were like, no, this is for real. This is actually what's going on. I don't know what it was. But yeah, there were some rumors that came out. What do you guys, before we even get into it. Oh, hey, look, my phone is actually ringing for some reason. What is going on?
Do we have a phone in caller? Who is it? Live on the show.
I'm not actually going to do that because.
Nintendo, Dad. What can I get for you?
I'm actually not going to do that, but I am going to put my phone in airplane mode, though. That's.
There you go.
That's actually going to be a thing.
Number three, folks.
Yeah. Wow.
Start on time is number one. Have a good bumper is number two. Turn your phone to airplane mode. That's number three. You're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. What do you guys think about these rumors? Are they a thing? Are they credible before we even get into them? What am I the only one that felt like that?
I don't know. I agree with everyone's reactions make it seem like this is more credible. But as I put out as a tweet yesterday, that this, you know, pretty much everything in the Eurogamer article is like the perfect storm of five previous rumors.
Yeah.
Which is exactly everything that I wanted in this thing, which probably means it's not going to be it.
Yeah. I'm kind of looking at this and it's like, if it's not real, it is perfectly crafted to be
every one of my predictions from the start of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost every single one dead on.
Yeah. So basically, Justin, what about you before we get into it?
You know, I think they're good. The content is good. I think the reason you kind of asked, like, why is everyone so believing this now, is I think because Nintendo has kind of gone really silent for the last several months about NX. And I think now we're just like, we all said, like, we really just want anything, but this is kind of like the first leak that's really kind of like, oh my gosh, here's the leaked information, like really a little more legit. So I think it's starting, like, we know that Nintendo is going to say something soon. So it doesn't feel outside that realm of possibility that this is incredibly real, because we know they're saying something soon. It more vindicates the information. But I also think, to Jesse's point, like, this is kind of things that we've already heard before, but just spliced together to make more logical sense.
Yeah.
Now, what I would say, though, is whoever on the internet crafted that amazing Zelda NX cartridge photo on the old school,
I think that's Eurogamer
in green, brilliant. Whoever did that, my hats are off to you. That was amazingly done. But I think that's it. I think it just goes back to, we just all want information, so we're willing to take anything. And I think probably also in that, we're willing to throw some like thoughts out the window of like whether it's valid or not, because we just want something.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, this article kind of, and again, this is on Eurogamer.net. We'll have a link in the show notes. Basically, what we're looking at here is not only, like, they show a little a picture that essentially is somewhat, okay, here's my interpretation of what this is imagine the Wii U, sort of, the tablet part of the Wii U being an actual portable that on the side, imagine if you could snap the controls off the side and use them as two separate controllers, right? Which is like, on the one side, you've got the thumbstick and the D-pad, and the other side, you've got the thumbstick and the four buttons, right? The A, B, X, Y. That is my interpretation of what that is. And it looks like it's even got like a little kickstand on the back. So if you detach the controllers from the device, then you can use them. You can kind of put the portable as a kickstand up so you can control it with the, you know, and play on the go. So an actual portable multiplayer system, which I think is super cool. Basically, it's like a gaming tablet. And then this article says as well that you would be able to dock it to your TV and be able to have, you know, presumably a better experience if it was plugged into the TV as well. Also cartridge based. Plus, they say that NVIDIA, using some sort of NVIDIA Tegra mobile chip, and they do some speculation we can get into in a minute about that. But
that's a similar chip they use in the NVIDIA Shield, right?
Yeah. Or there's like a sort of Android TV gaming tablet thing or gaming box that they have as well. I think it's called the Tegra X1 right now, which in this video on their website, I actually watched the video. They say the X1 is roughly comparable between the Wii U and the Xbox One. It's around the middle there, as far as games go. However, NVIDIA has talked a lot about has mentioned an X2 chip, which has not been in any commercially available products thus far, and it would, you know, they kind of hypothesize that it could be actually in the NX, and therefore it could be, you know, Xbox One comparable graphics in this portable gaming tablet device. So when I look at this, like, very simple mock-up at the top of the article here, you know, it's just this black and white line drawing, especially with the kickstand, I almost get the feeling of like a smaller, like a smaller version of like, almost like my, like, cause I'm recording on a Surface Pro right now, and imagining that a similar sort of device could be what the NX is. Maybe not a not entirely a tablet, but definitely tablet-esque. I think that it's worth us thinking about the NX not as this hybrid. You know, we've thought about the hybrid idea before, but I've never really made the connection that it would be a tablet, or at least comparable to a tablet, like an Android tablet or an iPad or something like that. Justin, how do you feel about the NX potentially being an iPad, or an iPad similar, maybe like the size of an iPad mini, or something like that? What are your feelings about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think very early on when we start talking about the NX, I kind of thought it's going to be a hybrid. And I remember saying, I said, just imagine if it was your Wii U gamepad and you just picked that up and you walked away with it, essentially, right? And you threw it in your kit bag and that was it. And I really have no issues with that. And that when you come home, you know, you somehow kind of, it knows your home and now you play on the big screen. Like, I don't have an issue with that. I think it's logical. I also think, like, hey, the tablets are hot. You know, you can use that methodology. I think it works. Like, I don't see a flaw in this. And I mean, when people are like, oh, the graphics aren't going to be as good, I don't really see that as a huge flaw. It's a flaw from a third-party vendor perspective. I get that.
As I said before, as long as if they can get the display to be about 900p,
yep,
and then have the rendered 900p on the big screen and then upscale it to 1080p, you're doing what Xbox One and PS4 already do today anyway.
Yeah.
So why have a conniption?
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's really cool. I thought it looks really awesome. I mean the sketch they provided, right? I am a little bit, I don't quite fully understand. And I mean, the problem is we don't see an actual version, right? We're seeing artist renderings. We have thoughts here, but like, how does it actually connect with my TV? Like, how does that?
Yeah,
like,
where's this docking part here?
Yeah, because I've always envisioned it to be very much like Apple AirPlay, right? That there's gonna be a little hockey puck that is the NX that I plug into my TV. The game cartridge pops into my hand, the gaming controller, which is a portable console essentially. And then just like when I get home, it recognizes that's kind of in it. It's like, would you like to play on the big screen? And I hit yes, and it kind of like airplays it, if you would, right? Over the interfaces. And I don't really understand that whole detachable, like breaking off the side game controller and kickstand. Now it was funny because, you know, a couple weeks ago, you'd mentioned that whole like third-party vendor NES Classic controller that would be Bluetooth, right? And if Nintendo could put like an app store on their an iPad, then I could play, you know, whatever I want on an iPad on a flight. So this kind of feels like it's actually taking three spots: the portable hand market, or the portable, like replacing the DS, the home console, and then this kind of like mid-size gaming console, right? This kind of like tip it on the kickstand, take it where you go, almost like computer-esque function.
Yeah,
and when you think about it, actually, I mean, Nintendo did talk about their strategy, including PCs, right? This kind of feels like it's fitting right in that mid pocket. So it's very odd. It feels like it's trying to be everything and nothing all at the same time.
Yeah,
and what I'm kind of hoping for in the docking station is kind of having the HDMI from the dock to the TV, so that it doesn't have to be wireless. Maybe a wireless video might be a possibility. You know, they do it the other way around for the Wii U anyway. And another thing I would like to see is Ethernet in the docking station. I try in
my house. Oh yeah, for sure.
I Wii U, PS3, PS4, they're all Ethernet. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to limit the Wi-Fi to only those devices that really need it.
Yeah, for
my
sure.
Apple TVs are all Ethernet.
Hmm.
You know, I have the bandwidth spare in the house. You know, most people don't. I understand that, but it's still, you know, I like to if I can limit my Wi-Fi use, I'd want to limit it.
Yeah, for sure.
And get as much bandwidth as I can out of it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I wouldn't be. Doesn't the Wii U require a separate connector? It does, doesn't it? Because they advertised it for Smash Brothers.
Yeah, the USB thing. Same with the Wii. It has connection to the Ethernet on one side and then one of the USB ports in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they just went the same route again, although I hear what you're saying for sure.
And I'd be fine if an external dongle. That's fine. I don't care. As long as I have the option.
Yeah.
I don't want to go only Wi-Fi. Of course, off the dock, Wi-Fi is great. You know, let them make that work too. But on the dock, I want to be able to use Ethernet.
Well, and I think that kind of goes to another thing that's interesting is, you know, another reason you have USB on a home console is for external storage, which means how does that work? You know, how does that work if you are doing that portable? And I mean, that's kind of getting off topic, but
I think the unit itself will have a limited amount of system memory, like the Wii U has 32 gigs. It might have
more than 32 gigs, dude.
It might have 128 gigs.
Yeah.
You know, you should be able to get two or three decent sized games on it then. And then you'll have to play memory management, clean the fridge stuff. Directional hard drive on the dock and the standalone unit.
Oh, if you could do it that way, that'd be okay. Or go cartridges.
Then you really don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but that feels like a step backwards considering all the digital eShop stuff.
It is. I'm still
stuff.
Wanting to go digital as much as I can. But I don't expect a 1 terabyte storage kit on the handheld. Yeah. That's overkill.
Yeah.
Another... I'd expect some mechanism for me to transfer games back and forth between the hard drive and the unit.
If they do that, they better have some like super fast like connection between the two. Otherwise, I'm like, if I have to sit there and wait like 15 minutes to transfer a game, then screw that business.
Yeah, you probably still have to because USB 3.0 is the fast, but still transferring a 30 gig file. That's going to take some time. And unless they start going, you know, Thunderbolt or something, but that's a lot more expensive.
Yeah. There was also something in the Wall Street Journal today that said that there's some speculation that this may be compatible with smartphone games. I don't know if like my Nintendo News is interpreting that as it might be, oh man, it's going to run smartphone games, or it may just be that there's crossover. What do you guys think of the idea of maybe, you know, with the new mobile Animal Crossing game, being able to load that up on your portable NX? Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, I think once you're doing that, you are trying to become a catch-all for everything. And I don't think that's where Nintendo wants to be. I think it has to differentiate itself. It has to be a handheld. Like, I'm okay with being a handheld and a home console, but I think when it's like a handheld, a home console, a mobile, like, it's trying to be everything. It's also
well, if it's
anything,
if it's already it. If they're already developing an iOS version of this of Animal Crossing Mobile, they're developing an Android arguably multiple iOS versions, multiple Android versions, and if the NX really is a mobile Tegra chip, it's just another version that goes along. If it's compatible with iOS and Android and it's a fairly easy development process, I can see it being more of a possibility. You know, if, for example, little Jimmy wants to play Pokemon Go, but, you know, for whatever reason, he doesn't. I mean, it gets in a world where 3G isn't an issue, right? But like, mm-hmm. Little Jimmy doesn't have an iPhone or an iPad. He just has an NX. And he wants to play the new Animal Crossing mobile game. I can see them having a version of it on the NX for sure.
Yeah, I can see Miitomo and the others on it.
Yeah,
because I don't. Otherwise, you'd need to have an LTE or 3G connection. You'd have to have a data plan with that.
You can't even do that. We tried to do it with an iPad and like just a non 3G iPad, the ones that don't have a GPS thing in there, and it doesn't even work with that. So.
Yeah,
you have to GPS, have a smartphone. So. Yeah, you have to have a GPS on board. We tried to pair it to my phone to an iPad, and it didn't even pick up the location doing that either. So it is, yeah, you definitely need a GPS on board. But no, I think that they definitely could do that on the NX, you know, to have the Nintendo developed, you know, games on the NX. I think it's reasonable to expect that that could happen, I guess.
And we got a few questions in chat. Diru Maid asks, power wise, where do you think it'll stand? PS4 like, not far from the Wii U?
I would say, honestly, probably around the current gen consoles, you know, like around an Xbox One. I think that's what the rumors have been. Anything beyond that, and I'm not really that worried about it, honestly. Like, I don't think it needs to be any more than that. It's not like we need a 4K NX. I don't think that's necessary. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Right. I'm thinking it probably won't be quite as powerful as PS4 or Xbox One. Otherwise, that thing is going to be a heat generator and a battery sack.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, keep in mind, too, that if they are using these mobile chips, you know.
Right. So, docked, it may have access to more power and more capabilities than off-dock. And we talked about kind of that aspect before with a rumor with it expanding or not. In capabilities based on what's attached to it.
Well, and think about like where current gen tablets and smartphones are graphics wise, like for a high end, you know, like a brand new iPhone or something like that, that's pretty impressive. But we're also going to be balancing in cost here, which is, it kind of comes to the other real question as far as NX goes. I think this is the last one is as far as cost goes. There were some rumors that were saying it's going to be fairly expensive. Other rumors saying it's going to be a little bit more affordable than people expect. We're like, given these rumors now, what we don't know, even though we like to think we know, what do you guys like, if these rumors were true, what would you expect? What would you pay for it? I guess, where would you expect that this would come in?
I think the difference between what I expect for where it comes in and where it has to come in, I think can sometimes be two different things. I think where I want to take a look at what the entire thing does, but I also have to step back and look at where Nintendo is in the marketplace to make that business decision. And I think this thing has to come in now, barring exchange rates and all that. I think it needs to be coming right around the $300 mark.
You think that's where it needs to come in?
I think it needs to come in about the $300 mark.
Yeah.
If you could, because I think if you make it at $200, then why am I? You're basically eating the 3DS's existence. Mm-hmm. I think if you make it more than $300, you're driving people to other platforms.
Yeah.
So I think you need to kind of hit right in that sweet spot, whether it's $250 to $300 or $325. Like, I think you need to be between $250 and $350. To be completely honest,
I can't see them doing it. I can't see them doing the whole deal for $250, but I think that they need to have an option around. I think if they were to do just the handheld for $250, and then maybe have either a premium package or you buy the TV docking station separately for an extra $100 or something like that.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I think that would be a smart way to go, because then the people who want it can get it. Here, the only thing is that knowing Nintendo, as soon as that TV docking station becomes a separate item, I foresee supply problems. Right.
Yep.
Right. So people are going to be wanting to play it on their TV, and they end up playing it in the portable version instead because they can't get the docking station or something stupid like that. They'd have to have a premium bundle, I guess.
On the other hand, they don't have to be a one-to-one. Like, I can have four or five the handhelds in my house, just like I have five 3DSs, but I would only need one or two docks.
Oh, yeah. See, that would, yeah, that's another good reason to do that. But I think around $250 for just the portable would be
whatever the base model is.
I would do 250. Yeah. Like, right, in fact, I probably wouldn't even get the home dock right away if that's what happened. I would probably hold off because I'm so much more of a portable gamer anyways. But yeah, we shall see. I think that's, I don't know, I think we milked that one for as much as we can. Right.
One more comment.
Go ahead, Jesse, first.
One more comment from the chat from Brian the Beard. Another spec I want in NX is 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi. Wii U only supports 2.4. And I agree, the more 5 gigahertz out there, the more that it's keeps the 2.4 gigahertz to where it needs it. Mm. Kind of like what I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
But I still rather have the Ethernet for the dock, but 5 gigahertz good.
Is that cheaper, though? Is that gonna drive up the price to have the 5 gigahertz supported?
I don't know. You know, every iOS device now supports both the 5 gigahertz range and the 2.4 gigahertz range on the same chip.
Right.
So I think it's pretty standard. And my iPad is like Gen 4, like before iPad.
And it already did that. Okay.
And it still supports the 5
gigahertz. So it may be out long enough.
It's not. It's old enough technology. It's probably cheaper.
All right. Cool. So for all you people who have no idea what we were just talking about, Wi-Fi. All right.
Get it. It's new.
It's on the internet. It's wireless tubes. So next up we have, this news is not necessarily in chronological order, Pokemon Go has been delayed for, until September, or sorry, Pokemon Go Plus, sorry. Although they did actually...
It's hard to delay something that's already out.
Yeah. Although they did release a website that kind of shows a little bit more information on it, but it should not be a surprise to anybody that Pokemon Go Plus is delayed. Because I think with the last thing they want to do is release this thing and not have enough to meet demand. And so they're just releasing it in September instead, which a lot of people, are you guys still there?
Yep. Yeah.
I'm hearing a weird waterfall sound. Whatever.
We'll don't keep go moving. Chasing waterfalls.
Don't go chasing. Okay. Next. So basically it's going to be in September now, which, Justin, for me and you, I started realizing, oh, wait a minute, what's Pokemon Go going to be like in the wintertime? It's going to be cold, and you're going to see a whole new generation of iPhone warmers. So people can go out
here
in like minus 30 and play it in the winter, or they're just not going to go out. Go ahead.
I think I've mentioned the show. Pokemon Company, whoever, anyone who listens to this, you need to build a smartphone app.
Yeah.
You need to.
You mean smartwatch app? Is that what you're saying?
Smartwatch app. I need to be able to go to the Apple store and pay my $10 or $15 or whatever it is to get the same functionality as your Pokemon Go Plus. You are leaving money on the table. I am not going to wear a freaking dongle on my wrist, but I already have something on my wrist.
I probably will.
That you will, yes. That will actually do it. But make one so that it works for, like, Google, for Apple. I think Pebble, does Pebble cost money for their stuff?
There are ways to do that, yeah.
Okay, so do that. Do that, but also have the Go thing, majig, going.
Yeah, no, so I agree. For the show, I'm going to try out for Pokemon Go Plus. We've got to have somebody who's going to do it, right?
I still have mine pre-ordered.
You know what, though? There may be...
Can't hear you. You're breaking up.
Brian says, preach on, Justin.
I know, right? Thank you.
No, I totally agree, though. If there was an app that... Well, really, I mean, how hard is it to just program the freaking app to have a push notification while you're in the app that you can then have, like, that's not hard. Even if it's just a push notification, that's not hard. I don't know.
If it's a push notification, or I can just, like, turn to my watch and there's, like, the Pokeball and it says, like, a Charizard is here, and I just, like, press the Pokeball on my watch.
Yeah.
Right? And it does whatever. You know, like, I mean, I don't even need to visually see it. But, like, it comes back and the ball, like, shakes my wrist a couple times.
Yeah.
And gives me a tactic feedback, and it's like, you got it or not. Boom. Right. Like, it's like this feels like it's a low hanging fruit that is like money left on the table.
Yeah.
Because, like, again, if you have something at a lower price end that is easily accessible, that is like low cost for you as well.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, too, is that they've got to make these things. So it's not like they're going to be making it. They're probably, you know what, though, is that, if this thing really is what it looks like, it's some cheap plastic with a Bluetooth receiver. They probably cost like $5 to make these, and they're going to sell them for $35. So
those that nice like nylon kind of, you know, stitching or whatever that goes around it. I'm sure it was made at a sweatshop for 5 cents.
Probably. So anyway, so that's that. I mean, I agree. I think they should do that, but I just don't anticipate that they will, because they want to sell as many of these as they can. And they also want people to wear them around so that then the word of the, well, you know, it's good for, not that they need any marketing at this point, but
yeah, exactly.
Right. But, so here's some information that they did release from the website. I think it's worth it to just kind of go through this. It says the Pokemon Go Plus is a small device that lets you enjoy Pokemon Go while you're on the move and not looking at your smartphone. The device connects to a smartphone via Bluetooth Low Energy and notifies you about events in the game using LED and vibration. So this is Pokestops Alert. The Pokemon Go Plus will blink and vibrate whenever you're within range of a Pokestop. Press the button to search the Pokestop for items. If you find any items, swipe or tap them to add them to your inventory. I think it's important to realize that this thing's still, unless they're going to change the app, which I wish they would, but to change the app so that it's running in the background, or at least there's an option for it that you could close the app and still have this work, you're going to have your phone in battery saver mode in your pocket with the app still running for this thing to work.
And really, you're still relying to go to your phone to do it.
Yeah, you can't multitask.
It's just a notification that there's one near. If you're that big of a Pokemon Go fan, you probably know what's already near you.
Yeah.
For Pokestop.
Well, but imagine if you were walking to a meeting and you know that you're gonna be with a coworker or something and you're passing a Pokestop and you're like, man, I wish that I could collect my Pokeballs at this Pokestop, but I don't want to look like a fool in front of my coworker. Therefore, I've got this sweet dongle of Pokemon Go Plus.
So you can push the button. What you're doing right now, Zach, is you're trying to justify, or you're giving what I would call like a test run script to how you're going to pass this to your wife.
No, I'm not.
I don't want my coworkers to make fun of me, honey.
No. And so instead, you're going to have this enormous thing that you're going to push a button on that's not going to be conspicuous at all, by the way. Right?
No, exactly. It lights up blue. It's on your lapel, on your suit jacket. No, that's not it, you know.
Yeah. So the other thing that was interesting here, we'll just finish this up. It says a Pokemon is nearby. When a Pokemon is near, the light on the thing will flash. And we saw this in the E3 thing. But what I thought was interesting, it says, once a Pokemon is close, push the button to throw a Pokeball. You'll only be able to throw a Pokeball using Pokemon Go Plus if you've caught the Pokemon before. So that's an important point, right? So you run into a freaking Pidgey or Rattata or Zubat or whatever. All right, go ahead and do that. But if all of a sudden a Dragonite shows up and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to catch this Dragonite. Guess what? You can't use the Pokemon Go Plus. You're going to have to pull your phone out and you're going to have to, you know, challenge it the way it should be rightfully challenged. I don't know. So that is that's an interesting. I think it's a good idea as well. But that is the information there for that. I don't know. Do you guys think this is that big of a deal? I saw people like, oh man, nobody's gonna even want this by the time it comes out now.
Well, I mean that is a little bit of it, right? Like that is the popularity for this thing right now is hot. So I think it's a good idea to strike while you can from a marketing perspective, obviously, sell more of these things. I think they've obviously realized it'd come into a shortage. They probably didn't expect, you know, the reception to be as high as it is. So now they're forcing, you know, mass production to maybe try and avoid scalpers potentially.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They don't want another.
Especially for something that's designed or aimed specifically more so for kids. I think that's an awareness they have to have. But I am excited that now that we have when Pokemon Plus thing comes out, at least people stop looking at their phones and walking off the edge of stuff and they can just maybe tap themselves awkwardly and touch themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I think what they probably need to do then is they need to have a pretty solid content update around the time that this is released, right? To pull people back into the app, not just for the Pokemon Go Plus, but to actually, you know, the hardcore people, by the time September run comes around, the hardcore people are going to likely have the majority of the 150 caught by then,
the other thing that I was hearing from them, I think is in the San Diego Comic-Con information from Pokemon this week, is that we've only seen about 10% of this game. There's another 90% of the game that the Pokemon company is going to roll out through this game. So, yep. I mean, I suspect they're going to really try and have a longevity, a long tooth to this for sure. But I don't know. Also, make a freaking Apple Watch app to go with it. Come on now.
Yeah,
sure. That's my campaign. Make the change 2016. Be the change. Be the Apple Watch.
Yeah, right on. As well, again, you kind of mentioned it before, but there was the press conference at San Diego Comic-Con. Talking about some of the stuff that was going on around the game. They're talking about rare Pokemon that are going to be coming up. You know, they kind of hinted at the possibility with the three teams, with the legendary birds in the original games, that there's going to be a chance to maybe catch those and other legendary Pokemon. There's going to be trading coming. There's going to be turning Pokestops into other sort of... you know, additional ways. Right now you can attach a lore module to a Pokestop. You should be able to, you know, in the future you may be able to attach different things instead to a Pokestop, which is interesting. And yeah, and their players haven't found anything, or they haven't found everything that's even currently in the game. They specifically mentioned the way to choose what your Eevee evolves into out of the three, using different names for each one. There's apparently other stuff in there as well currently. So, and just again, hinting that your team may be more important in the future as well. So yeah, we will, we'll get into more Pokemon Go stuff in a little bit, but yeah, I think that's good for now. Any other thoughts before we move on? Okay. So next up we have Sonic news. Now, I have said before, I was a Sonic kid growing up. I was a Sega kid. I did not have a Super Nintendo. I had a Sega Genesis. And it's interesting. I don't know if you guys saw much of the Sega news that came out, or if you watched any of the videos. Jesse, did you watch any of the Sega footage, the Sonic footage?
I think I saw a little bit. I saw like there's like two new games coming out. One of them is kind of still kind of back to the 16-bit style, but yeah. a new game.
Yeah. So Sonic Mania. Yeah,
I didn't fully understand it because I was only half paying attention because, unlike you, I never enjoyed Sonic.
Yeah, so I like Sonic. I honestly, one of the
I've tried a few times, but never could get past the first few levels.
One of the first games I ever really remember playing on console was Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and so Sonic Mania is the first one that's coming out. It's coming out in, where are we here? I can't find it. Anyway, spring 2017. We have Sonic Mania coming out, which is, they're saying it's coming to PS4, Xbox One, and Steam. So I'll probably just play it on Steam. I know it's not a Nintendo thing, but it's my show, so I can talk about whatever I want. So it's basically like a classic 2D Sonic game, and it's not like Sonic 4, which was really not very good. Like, this is the first time the footage of a Sonic game has actually made me excited, like, in a very long time. So that is...
The only thing I remember that stuck out to me was in that very initial, that title screen logo. It still was Sonic in a similar pixel art style as in previous games. And, you know, in the previous games, he was slightly animated. It was kind of, you know, like the three-frame animation for him doing something.
Yeah.
But he's spinning around, and it's the very fluid animation.
Yep.
And that surprised me.
But it's not floaty is the difference, right? Like, it's not like, like, it's not like some of the animation in like Sonic 4 and stuff like that was like the animation and the physics were almost like, I don't know, or muddy or.
I'm not even talking about the gameplay. This is like the title screen.
Right.
You know, where Sonic is still taking up like a quarter of your TV at this point, but it's still pixel art.
Yeah.
But he's very well animated.
It's very good. It's very reminiscent. Like this is what you would expect from a retro Sonic game for sure. So that's pretty exciting. It's not, again, this is going back to like retro Sonic. This isn't like the current day Sonic. That gets to like Project Sonic 2017, which is apparently going to be on NX. That didn't get me as excited. It could be good, but it's it could end up being just like anything else that Sonic team's made lately.
It kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth when they put years in names, because then you get reminded of Sonic 06.
Well, and not only that, but in that trailer they had, it's weird to me that Sonic the Hedgehog and classic Sonic the Hedgehog in this game are actually, I think they did that in Generations where they were two different Sonics. But they ended up, it's like, no, guys, it should just be one, whatever. If you want to change the, you know, use this old version of Sonic, then just use the old version of Sonic and just be retro. Don't have to have the new one, too. That's dumb. Anyway, and then, of course, of note is the Sonic the Hedgehog version of LEGO Dimensions, which will be coming out in November, I believe. So, So yeah, so Sonic the Hedgehog, it's a thing. Justin, are you excited? Are you excited for Sonic the Hedgehog?
I think as a person who grew up with a Super Nintendo, every time I hear the word Sonic, I kind of like throw up in my mouth.
Oh, shut your mouth. All right, let's.
I think I've been trained from the console wars. I've just never really found Sonic super compelling. And I've never really, really, really enjoyed the games. But I'm happy that you're happy.
Thanks, Justin. Right on. Next up, we have the Miitomo is getting an update, which is, you know, kind of weird. We kind of talked about it in the pre-show. But Justin, hey, you know how you go into... So here's... Let's just for a recap for anybody who's not... hasn't been in Miitomo lately. So you know those game tickets that you get in Miitomo, yes. Right? And what do you... You use those game tickets to spend them on Miitomo Drop. Right?
Yes.
And Miitomo Drop is where you can get some costume stuff, but most of the time, what do you get?
Candy.
Candy, right? And you I hate getting candy. And do you ever use the candy to actually listen to people, specific people, and to listen to their stuff?
Or might... I did it twice just to see what it was like.
Okay, and now I'm guessing you have a ton of candy, right?
I love having a lot of candy. I look forward to giving out candy.
You know what would be wonderful is if you could spend the candy. This is okay. I'm being ridiculous. Here's the thing is that a new candy drop game will make its debut at a later date, according to an update preview from the preview notification within the app in Miitomo. This will allow players to spend candy they've amassed by playing other mini games in the hopes of winning game tickets. So you're now playing Miitomo Drop and earning candy so that you can then spend that candy in hopes of playing Miitomo Drop. So that's... This is the update we've been waiting for.
And then during the pre-show, I made the joke that I thought we were going to turn in the candies to evolve our Miis.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Okay. Question. Seriously, do either of you guys go back to Miitomo at all?
I still hit it every day just to get as many coins as I can squeeze out, but I really don't read anything. And sure. Sometimes I might post the question of the day answer. Sometimes I'll say nah.
Yeah. A lot of times I will literally just keep tapping the more button until it stops giving me coins, and that way I know that I've done 10 answers. Listened to 10 answers for the day.
Right. Exactly.
You've done your due diligence. So you're just farming.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing it's good for nowadays. And this is definitely not going to bring me back into it. Although every once in a while they're like, hey, come into Miitomo and get a Splatoon t-shirt. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'll go in there and do that. And then,
yep.
You know, I got the Marie pin from the most recent Splatfest and then peaced out. So it's, I don't know.
Way to go, Team Marie, by the way.
Yeah, Team Marie. We were Team Marie. What?
I wasn't.
Oh, I think we had this conversation. My son wanted to be Team Marie, even though we all know that Callie is definitely the sassier of the two. So Team Marie is the one that you take, is the one that you introduce to your parents. But oh. Callie is the one that you actually have the love affair with.
I was like, where are you going with this?
She's the sassy one. But anyways. So
Zach and the waifu wars.
Yeah, there you go. Waifu wars. Marie wins. So yeah, that's Miitomo. I don't know. What do you guys want Miitomo to be? I still feel like Miitomo needs to evolve when NX is announced and we actually know what everything is. Miitomo needs to end up being my online profile. Like, I feel like I need to be able to control my profile and my Nintendo account through Miitomo. I don't know. It's just so dumb right now. It's so not what I want.
I don't need it to be anything because it does nothing that I'm missing.
What if
that makes sense?
Right. But what if this was
the only thing I really like about me? Well, I guess it's not Miitomo. It's my Nintendo. The only thing I want Miitomo to be able to do is that I can have private messages and create groups.
Yeah.
Those are the only things. But we already do that.
Like, if it was a chat,
online chat.
Yeah. Yeah, if it was a social network, I would probably like it more.
Yep.
Just like a regular old social network.
You can push out Nintendo stuff in that social network feed or whatever you need, but it's like, no, this is...
Yeah. Yeah, and I still haven't gotten very much stuff here either. I don't know. I'm just looking at my Nintendo again. Just seeing if there's anything new. Oh, wait, nope. It's all the same.
But we should be getting some new stuff soon.
Yeah, in August. Is there anything that I need to get before I do that? I already have, like, everything I need here.
You know, I was actually going to go back to the article I wrote at the top of July that shows when everything goes away, to see what goes away at the end of this month.
Right, yeah. Anyway, so that's Miitomo. You know, get excited to be able to then recycle your candy back into, like, it's a terrible cycle, right? Like, the tickets into candy, into tickets, into candy. Like, and you're not getting anything either way. Hopefully you get some costumes along the way. Finally, last thing here in the news, we have Level 5 did a thing today, some sort of a press conference. I haven't watched any of these trailers yet, Jesse. Lady Layton. Is this something that is of note? Like, should people be excited about this?
Well, it sounds like it's, you know, it's in the same universe as the Herschel Layton games. So it's pretty much the seventh game in the franchise will have a different main character.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lady that wears a little mini top hat instead of a gentleman.
Okay. And so it's the same sort of basic, and it's being released on 3DS, Android, and iOS, which I think is interesting.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
I wonder what the pricing is going to be across platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Is if...
Like, do we expect this will be like an eShop exclusive then?
I don't know. I know they've gone digital only for Ace Attorney games. So it wouldn't surprise me. Of course, that's Capcom. But the two do kind of have scratch similar itches to me.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, it's definitely interesting for sure.
It could be. And yeah. It makes me wonder if I should buy it on iPad versus buying it on 3DS. Because in most cases, those puzzles, at least, are touchscreen anyway. And so using a stylus on a 3DS or my finger on the iPad, not much difference other than the bigger screen.
Right, yeah.
So if it's $30 versus $15, I might just buy the $15 iPad one. So depending on what the pricing is.
Mm-hmm. So here's what the press release says. It says the story will focus. Actually, well, let me rewind a little bit. Not only will the main character switch from Professor Herschel Layton to Cat Catrielle Layton, many of its characters will be brand new. The story will focus less on dynamic problem solving and more on solving multiple mystery cases observed in the everyday lives of Londoners, which will bring a faster tempo and more comical tone to the series. It will be more familiar and funnier than ever while maintaining an adventurous quality. The creators of the puzzles and brain teasers, the core elements of the series will also be new. So this is... Oh, wait,
either what? She has a talking dog or she's just able to understand this dog. But that dog was talking in the trailer.
Okay. So it sounds like they're changing it up a little bit.
Instead of a little boy companion, she's got a dog.
Okay, cool. They also talked about the snack world, which I think they've talked about before, and a bunch of other stuff. They're in Japan. They announced that they are bringing Yo-Kai Watch to smartphones, like the original Yo-Kai Watch game. They're porting it to smartphones. Level 5 seems to be moving, and I think they've been moving in the past as well. They've been moving more to iOS and Android. I think to their credit, they are bringing this Lady Layton game to 3DS, which I think is a good act of goodwill, if nothing else, to Nintendo fans. But it's interesting. They also announced Fantasy Life 2, which is in Japan only at this time. So yeah, I don't know. Are you guys super excited? Justin, you haven't played any Level 5 stuff lately, have you? No, anything there sticking out?
No, I've never played any Level 5 stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's, that's a thing that people can be excited about. If you're excited about that, let us know, and we will be happy that you're happy. All right, let's get in what we've been playing, shall we?
Right, well, before we do...
Wait, what?
I'll say, before we do, I have the things that are going away on August 1st for my Nintendo Awards.
Okay, hang on.
If we want to go over them real quick.
What do we got? I got this one right here.
It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you are going to get.
All right, there you go.
Which is how we all feel when we see the new loaded treats for.
That should be our bumper for. That should be our bumper from now on for my Nintendo rewards.
Done. I like it. Okay, Bravely Second, the end layer theme for 100 platinum points. Mario 64 on the Wii U for 90 gold points. Super Luigi U DLC for 170 gold points. Let's see. Mission Mode DLC Map Pack 2 for Pikmin 3 for 20 gold points.
That's going away?
These are going away after this weekend.
Okay.
So, you know, August 1st, you know, 1 a.m. is when they all go away or so.
All right.
Metroid Fusion on the Wii U for 60 gold points.
Oh, jeez.
And Super Punch-Out on the Wii U for 70 gold points.
So all right. We should be expecting to see some new, fresh stuff, you know, August.
And probably all not right. A big list because, you know, at the top of July brought us, you know, well, about 66% of all the rewards was new and only a small bundle was old stuff. Mm-hmm. And of all the old stuff, everything but two line items go away.
Mm. Yeah, so we should be get a pretty big refresh then. Is that what you're saying?
I think it'll be a small and medium refresh, and then at the start of September, we'll get a bigger refresh.
I'm hoping for some good virtual console stuff. Because I kind of have most of the stuff I want right now.
Yeah, me too.
I'm kind of hoping to see like a 30% off of Xenoblade Chronicles X. I might pick it up then.
Ah. I just about picked that up for my birthday. Just about, but I didn't.
Nice. Because, all right.
You know, this month had The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D for 30% off like 3 days after I bought it.
Mm. Dang it. All right, let's head into what we've been playing, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's do it. All right. So, Justin, what have you been playing this week, good sir?
I have still been playing some more Pokemon Go. We talked about that a little bit last week. Still kind of getting up early and walking around, putting in like 6.5 kilometers in the morning and getting Pokemon. So that's both good for fitness and both good for Pokemon. So that's
What level are you at, dude? Let's just bundle all of our Pokemon Go talk right now. Let's just do it.
So I am at level 10 and a half.
Nice. So is my son. Yeah. My son is at level 10 and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
That's always kind of nice.
No, that's cool. He's kind of a crazy person. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's not bad. I'm happy with that level.
Yeah. Hey, I wasn't trying to compare you to my son, to my 5-year-old son. That's not what I was trying to do at all.
I don't know, you jerk.
Anyways, moving on. So you've been going out like in the morning. You've been playing it, or?
Yeah, I get up at 5:30 in the morning. I go for about an hour and a bit walk.
Nice.
6:30, so I get a lot of exercise, and then I'll do a walk one morning and then bike the next morning. This Sweet. Week has been a little bit less effective that way, but yeah, it's been really good. So
very cool. What is your is your coolest Pokemon that you've caught so far?
I will tell you that right now. I'm still not really good at powering them up. I will be honest. I don't think I'm not evolving them. What's the word?
Saving them. You should be saving your Stardust. Don't power up anything quite yet. Just be focused on leveling up, I think.
So I don't know if I have the coolest. Oh, one of the coolest ones that I've seen that I haven't seen a lot of other ones. I have a Ghastly.
Nice.
Machop. What else has really stood out for me? I got a lot of Pidgeys, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Persian.
No way, dude. That's I don't have a Persian. That's cool.
I don't have either of those.
Those are pretty good. I got a couple of Eevees. I don't know. Like those are Staryu? Is that a thing?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing I found yesterday, which I thought was kind of weird, that I thought was actually an error, but it turns out that's an actual Pokemon, is Dugtrio.
Oh, cool.
I was like, oh, they have three Diglets together. And I was like, that must be an error. And then I was like, oh, it's just one together. That was interesting.
That's cool. So you actually caught that one?
Yeah.
Nice.
Also a Cubone.
Nice.
So yeah, I've got some pretty neat ones here. I have no clue what half this shit is. but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I,
no,
I
cool. Just,
like it comes up, I'm like, hey, I should get that, and I see a lot of Zubats and a lot of Pidgeys.
Nice.
And
Rattatas. Meowth.
Meowth. I get a lot of those things too.
Yeah, we got a
pairs.
It was interesting because up here, I was up here and I've been catching a lot of Pokemon, lots of Krabby, lots of Drowsy, lots of whatever. And then I went down and visited family, and even between like Raymond and Lethbridge, I noticed there was a difference, but I spent some time with my family in Raymond, and man, like totally different Pokemon down there than up here. It was crazy. So like tons of Ponyta and Mankey and like Rhyhorn, like totally different Pokemon down there than up here, which was really cool to see. So like I went while I was down there for a week, I made it my goal that I was going to have a Rapidash, which is like the evolved form of Ponyta, the like fire horse thing. Justin, I don't know if you've seen those.
No,
you haven't seen one yet. Okay. Yeah. And it's basically like, so I like just made sure that I was going to get one of those.
And, I think Rapidash is probably one of the coolest looking Pokemon of the first gen.
It's super cool. It's very cool. So just I ended
in
up
in general.
I did get one of those, which is really fun. And it's just been, I think I'm level, what am I now? 19, I think.
So can I ask a question about Pokemon, about this game that I didn't really fully understand? So yeah. Wasn't originally you were up to, there was only 150 Pokemon, the original starters?
Yep.
But now it shows 250.
No, that's your capacity. That's your capacity to hold up to 250 at once. So you could have like, so if you've got like 50 Pidgeys or whatever, then
a lot of Pidgeys.
Yeah. So that would be, when you would start transferring them out to get candy and stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's super cool. Actually last night, and this is where I'll kind of throw in our like pro tip that we teased at the beginning of the show. Our pro tip last night, I went to the university, here, and there's this one spot that has four Pokestops that all overlap, and it's kind of like a gathering point on campus. So I drove over there and I parked my car and walked over, and of course all four of them have lure modules going, right? And so there's just this huge group of people and everybody's just catching Pokemon and having a good time. And then one of the guys is like, hey, everybody check Pokevision to see what's nearby. And because of course the tracker in the game right now doesn't really work, right? I think what they did was they deactivated it in order to manage server load. So the tracker that tells you what's nearby and how far away it is doesn't really work right now. And so there is a website that is pokevision.com. And I wouldn't be surprised if they end up deactivating this, or you know, Niantic patches it so people can't use it anymore. But as of right now, you can go in and actually look up your location, and it will tell you what Pokemon in real time. There's a lot of these that do this that are, reliant upon, reliant upon like user reports. But this is actually using something else. I don't know how they're doing it, but it actually is showing a live feed of what is near you. Yeah, what Pokemon are near you? So right now I'm on the website, and it looks like there's not a whole lot around me, but there is a... Oh, here we go. It's pulling in here. There's actually an Eevee that's a couple of blocks away, and a Weedle, and there's another Eevee on a different direction. There's a bunch of Spearows. So it actually tells you in real time, as well as there's a timer that tells you how long you have until that Pokemon disappears. And so you can go there. And so we were using this on campus, and they're like, oh man, there's a Squirtle like over down by the Student Union building. And so we'd all walk over there. It's just a bunch of random people that I met that night. So we walked over to the Student Union building and caught a Squirtle. And then, there's a building over across the lawn there that's a gym. Let's go all take it together. And it was really, really fun. It was one of those first times that had this sort of really cool experience where everybody's coming together to play this game. It was a lot of fun. So that's a pro tip, is pokevision.com, and yeah, check it out before they patch it. I'm guessing eventually it's going to get patched out, because it's kind of it almost cheats the system in a way. So also showing that right now West Edmonton Mall is full of nothing but Rattata, which is exactly what my experience has been going to West Edmonton Mall lately. So
is that some sort of commentary on the quality of the mall?
I don't know. No, the mall's great. In fact, I think I posted on Twitter, they had these really cool signs all over the mall. Like every single there's probably 20 something Pokestops in this mall, and they had like these really cool signs everywhere. And there's three gyms within the mall, and they had these cool signs with like the different Team Valor, Team Mystic, Team Instinct or whatever at the gyms. And they had, you know, those displays as well. I think they're really trying to, you know, attract people to the mall who are doing the Pokemon thing. So yeah, but I don't know, as of right now, it's nothing but Rattatas in that mall and a Zubat, a Spearow and a Pidgey, one of each. But anyways, Jesse, you've been playing Pokemon Go at all before we talk about other stuff?
A little bit. I haven't been able to get out much this week. You know, problems with my legs. So, but I won't get into that here. I did catch a Ponyta, which earlier today, which I think is probably my coolest one. So, you know, I went to my office today had, you know, a catered lunch outside to celebrate like the 2-year anniversary of our company having an IPO.
Nice.
So I drove in, parked, launched the app, put it in my pocket, and went down, had lunch. And then as I was walking back, I looked at it and it said I caught a Poliwag. I'm like, how did I do that in my pocket? And then I figured out what happened. It took me a little while. An egg hatched.
Oh, okay, cool.
But it was just the weirdest thing.
That's like, awesome.
What? And one thing I noticed, so have you tried the power saving mode?
Yes.
Sometimes the app gets confused about which is full normal orientation and which is upside down. Because I put it upright and the screen blacked out. I put it upside down and then the screen turned on again. Right. So I don't know how that happened. So I had to kill the app and relaunch it to get to fix that.
Okay.
So very cool. My Pokedex says 49 Pokemon captured out of 50 seen. So nice. I'm still behind.
Yeah, I think I'd have to launch mine to see exactly what it is. But yeah, it's...
I do have all 3 Eeveelutions.
Yeah, me too. I just got the last one today. Oh, last night, I guess the cool thing that I caught last night was a Primeape. A wild nice. Primeape was pretty sweet. So that was awesome. Yeah, so I think it's still fun. It's still a really, you know, really enjoyable game. Sorry, Justin, you were kind of talking about it too. Do you have any other comments or other stuff about that one, or if not, then maybe talk about any other games you've been playing.
Yeah, I think Pokemon Go is fun. You know, that's a thing.
Put that one on the box.
I know, right? Like it's going all right. I mean,
yeah, it's good.
You know, does it have the long tooth to keep me playing in a couple, you know, months from now? That's, I don't know. That's tough to say.
Yeah, that's gonna be the
thing. The other thing I've been playing is Metroid Prime Blast Ball.
So this
is kind of cool. Nintendo dropped this out of nowhere last week as a free. And here's the thing: it wasn't really a demo, but it is a demo.
I think it's a
it's a demo.
It's a demo, but no, it's like a full Blast Ball thing, but they're pulling the online functionality when the game actually launches, is my understanding.
Yeah, the app is running on temporary servers right now. When the full game launches, then they'll take these servers down and bring up the
You still will be able to play local though, right? Like you should still be able to play local multiplayer when it actually launches, like with download play or whatever. That's my guess. Ooh, anyway. Okay. Anyways.
Well, so either which way, I thought it was interesting. So I've been playing it. I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. A lot of people say, oh, it reminds me of Rocket League. And when we originally saw it, I thought, oh, this does look like it has some Rocket League-esque moments. But I've never played Rocket League. But I thought this was a lot of fun. I've had some pretty good matches. I think there's some functionality I really love. And I love that when, you know, when you get a goal against the other team, the net gets smaller.
Yeah.
It becomes more difficult. I think that's really cool. I think I do have some challenges of kind of just the controls. I just don't think I've handled them quite as well as I need to. You know, I'm trying to like chase the ball. I'm like, I don't really think I'm getting there as fast as I should be.
Did you notice? Did you notice that the demo actually has the Amiibo skin functionality in it?
Yes, I did notice that. I haven't tapped any, but I did notice that. The other thing that I thought was interesting is I actually kind of like the fact that like you could basically destroy another mech. You could destroy someone else's. You could slow them down. They could basically be taken. You know, they're injured. They're out of the field of play for a little bit. I thought that was a very cool function as well to it. So
now have
overall,
you played?
I really.
Yeah. I was just going to ask. Have you played it online yet, or has it just been against the computer?
Yeah. It's been online in challenge. There's versus in challenge. Challenge of what I played in.
Okay.
Which was really quite cool. Like after you win, you get like another three players who are more difficult, right?
Does it have like a ranked mode then? Like you actually rank up and play against more experienced players?
It implies that it does, but I don't think it really actually does. And what I mean by that is like the new mechs that come out look a little bit bigger and kind of like
so it's cosmetic stuff. Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I don't think there's much more to that. And they may even be bots because they're always like B4B. Whereas opposed to like, you know, my gamer tag is there. So I'm like, maybe it's only the three of us that are playing online where it's, you know, me and Ian Dumbledore, they're human. And the rest of it may be AI. It's tough to say.
Hmm.
But it's really cool. I do like it. I find it interesting that they released this game. You know, I mean, Nintendo hasn't shown any love to Federation Force since it was kind of like the black-eyed mark of 2015's E3.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, we requested a demo unit for Federation Force from NOC, Nintendo of Canada rep. And we were actually told by the Nintendo of Canada rep that they were not being supplied with demos for this game. So I thought that was kind of an interesting statement. Could just be NOC's not getting any, which is fine.
That's usually what it is.
It was very quiet for the release, and this comes out of nowhere. When I was watching, you know, when I was kind of first saw Federation Force and Blast Ball is actually kind of one of the things that kind of like drew me to like, yeah, I definitely want to pick this game. I definitely want to pick this game up, like Federation Force to include Blast Ball. But then when I'm playing Blast Ball, I was like, you know, if this was just $10, I'd probably just buy this and not buy the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I kind of wish they actually gave me like Blast Ball and one or two levels of Federation Force. Mm. So you kind of make that decision more. I'm assuming the controls in Federation Force are similar to the controls in Blast Ball, but I don't really know. I also kind of feel like Blast Ball feels, and if Blast Ball is like Federation Force, it feels like someone used the frame for Triforce Heroes and just said, let's do this, but in Metroid. Because you've got like, hey, press the up on the directional pad and you say a specific action like go, and you can customize those things. You can change tone and pitch. So it doesn't have voice actual chat and function, but like specific statements and phrases that you can key in. Very similar to what we saw from like Mario Kart. I think. Yeah, Mario Kart, when you finish your matches, you can actually do that. So yeah, it's not bad.
Like in the lobby, you mean?
Yeah. Like, okay, cool. And let's use tires. I wonder how this might impact their sales, but overall, I am impressed with the game, and we're definitely going to pick the game up and play it for the show and try it out as well. But Blast Ball doesn't answer the question of is Federation Force good enough to pick up.
Yeah.
What Blast Ball does is says Blast Ball is fun. I'd want to play that, but yeah. Is it worth picking up the entire game for? And that's a challenge. So I guess I'll make this statement. If you are a person who's on the fence about Federation Force, we are picking it up. We are picking it up on the release date. We will have our own first hands impressions and review on it. So if you want to hold off and wait for Zach, Jesse, or I, actually, I think it's me specifically giving my feedback on Federation Force. Please do that. That's fine. And we'll let you know. But you know, as for Blast Ball, it's currently in the eShop. It's free. Download it. Give it a shot. It's definitely worth the money you paid, which is nothing for it. And it gives you an opportunity to kind of just try something different. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because it seems like there is, you know, with the avatar customization stuff, it seems like they're hinting at some almost like a progression system with the multiplayer of like, kind of like you were saying, like you actually, your mech powers up and there's a lot of customization and unlock stuff there. If that's all done through the online mode, I think that's interesting to see if they could have an almost quasi-competitive multiplayer thing there that could suck you in for a while. I don't know. It could be interesting. So we shall see. Those are the two things that I've been playing this week. Jesse, do you have anything else that you've been playing?
I did get a little bit of time into Tokyo Mirage Sessions of Serpathy. I did beat Chapter 2, finally. My original plan was, grind a little, get as many weapons as I can, then figure out, try to do the strategic thing, figure out which weapon was not weak to the enemy's attacks, so I don't get knocked down every round. But I didn't have to go that strategic after all. After all the level grinding and getting a few stronger weapons, I was able to take them out just with brute force.
Cool.
Nice. Hey, Misty, did I read somewhere that DLC is coming out for Tokyo Mirage?
What?
Yes, but
I saw it on, I think, Nintendo's page.
But since I had the special edition, it came with all the DLC already. So I don't know how much of that DLC was available at launch or how much is new. But I pretty much had all that DLC on day one.
Right.
Okay.
I feel like we also should mention there is a game that came out recently that we've kind of just happened to not cover, but it's just because I don't think any of us is really interested in picking it up, which was Monster Hunter Generations. So if you were waiting with bated breath for us to review that, Monster Hunter Generations, I don't have it on my soundboard. Please understand. That's anyway.
And if you're past listeners to the show, you should already know that none of us really cared for the franchise.
Yeah, I played the first one. I played Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, and I did not play enough of that game to warrant buying the new one. I have so much left of that game that I just can't bring myself to buy Monster Hunter Generations. So. If Nintendo wanted to give us a review copy, then I could probably put some time into it and see what's different. I would probably be able to say that, but anyway.
Yeah, when I first heard about Monster Hunter, it was before Tri came out on the Wii, and on one of those games are on paper, it sounds like it's exactly what I wanted in the game.
Yeah.
But I bought it on day one, put it in, after about a half hour of fighting with that tutorial, I'm like, this is nothing what I wanted, and I'm hating this.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then I got more of Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D, and I just finished the Fire Temple as the adult Link.
Nice.
Just before we started recording.
Sweet.
So I'm running around trying to get the ice, just ready to start the Ice Temple.
Very cool. Right on, dude. Well, hey, should we get into some Postman? What do we call it? The Postman? The listener mail? Postman? Sure. Let's do it. Right on. So, first off, let's do the emails first while I pull up the voicemails.
First off, I think the postman is brought to us by someone, right?
Oh, is it? I don't know. I wasn't checking the emails or the thing here. What is it?
Look at that. The postman. Patreon.com.
Well, you better say that again.
It's brought to us by patreon.com/NintendoDads. If you are interested in supporting the show and helping us create amazing content for Nintendo and parenting, head over to patreon.com/NintendoDads. And for as little as a dollar a month, it is truly thankful and appreciated. Big shout out this month, or is actually just this week, we had three new patrons join our group. So guys, thank you very much. We are near 30 Patreon supporters help us out every single month to help create this content. Thank you guys very much for all.
Whoa, yeah, you guys are amazing. Right on. So thank you for that. And hey, you know what? That's going to bring us Retro Rewind. We're coming up. We're going to record that next week, right? So do that. And patrons, if you haven't voted yet, if you haven't gotten your nominations in for the next one, now's the time. Yeah, because we're going to be voting very quickly. Right on.
I think the voting's already up.
Oh, is it over?
The voting is up, yeah.
Oh, look at that. See, that's why.
You already missed it.
Yeah, too bad.
No, we've got our nominations. People need to vote now for it.
Yeah, you're voting now. The nominations are over. Okay, cool. Right on. So actually, you know what? I've got the voicemails up here. I'm going to play a voicemail. The first voicemail, I think, comes from Dave. I don't know. Maybe it's a short one. We'll see what happens here.
Hi, Nintendo Dad. You said nobody ever calls you. Catch them. Gotta catch them all. Someone will call you.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Of course, is Dave from the brand new podcast Going Pokemon, which is available on iTunes now. So thanks, Dave, for calling the voicemail. I'm sure Mildred appreciated that. Having something to do to answer.
We had to pay Mildred like overtime this week because she had double work.
I know, right? So yeah, Mildred, the skeleton secretary. She's awesome. So thanks, Dave. I'm going to put that one on the soundboard, I think. We'll see. Next up as well, the other thing I wanted to say about that, if you guys are a fan of Dave and the Day Space Network, Dave, of course, just released and started his, a new Pokemon podcast. He's talking about Pokemon Go, all that kind of stuff. So go over to Day Space, DACESPASE .com, and it's called Going Pokemon. You can find it on iTunes and all the podcast stuff, and go check that out. I'm gonna probably try and be on there sooner rather than later. He doesn't know it yet, but I will be there. Right on.
He does now.
Yeah, he does now. There you go, Dave. Right on. So next voicemail we have right here. Maybe. Wait. Hang on, it's loading. Maybe. Come on. Freaking phones. There we go.
Hi, Nintendo Dad. My name is Brendan. 25-year-old. Been playing Nintendo games my whole life. I have a couple of questions. Number one, I'm getting married this October, so I have my fiance. I like to spend time with her, but sometimes she gets stuck with playing those stupid Facebook games. And I was wondering, what game would you recommend that I try to play with her so that we can do something together rather than wasting our time on something stupid as Facebook? She really likes those sim games, but other than that, I have no clue. My second question is, regarding the NX, when Nintendo announced that they were releasing a new Nintendo 3DS XL, I was class that time, so I wasn't able to pre-order the Legend of Zelda one. So I was really bummed out that by the time I got to hear the news 2 hours later than the announcement, that they were already sold out everywhere. I wasn't able to get it. But fortunately, GameStop canceled some orders over two, so I was eventually able to get it, but I was wondering, how do you think the NX will announce their games, like when they get the system, and it'll be available for pre-order? Thanks again, love the show, hope to hear from you guys on the podcast. Later.
Right on. So, did he say what his name was at the beginning there? Did he say it? Hang on. Brandon, is that right? Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Where is it? Maybe? No, it's not going to load again. Forget it. Yeah, so Brandon, we'll say it's Brandon. Two questions. The first one is about his fiance playing Facebook games and wondering if there's anything there that he could play with his fiance. She likes to play Facebook games. I think he specifically mentioned The Sims, right? I picked up on something because you can't get any sort of random comment by a therapist and have them not comment on it. So we'll just do that. but you know, he mentioned something about wasting her time playing those Facebook games and playing something else instead. My first piece of advice is to drop that what word am I looking for here? She enjoys doing it, so it's not wasting time. That's all I'll say with that one. However, having said that, I would say, and I think this, I don't want to treat it like it's, I don't want to treat it like it's, like wives and children are the same thing. However, I would invite you to see what she enjoys about those games and then look for games that maybe are similar that way. And to maybe, you know, a good sort of entry level is to go where that interest is. So if The Sims is something that's really enjoyable, I would suggest maybe starting with something like Animal Crossing. And I think this new Animal Crossing game that's going to come out for mobile phones may be a really good opportunity for you. I also think that any, you know, those Picross games, if you want to get her into other sort of games that are on the 3DS or something like that, Picross is always a good option. And there's a million eShop games like that. And honestly, with the NX coming up and the recent price drop of the 2DS, I think a 2DS actually would probably be a better option to get for your fiance, if that's actually something that she's interested in, is just get a 2DS, get some Animal Crossing, some eShop, Picross. I don't know if I'm thinking, if I'm missing any other games here, guys, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on it? Justin, what do you think? Oh, Justin walked away. Justin didn't even have his earbuds in, man. Justin didn't have his earbuds in. Okay.
My wife left me some jam.
Jam? Man.
Homemade jam.
Right on. Justin, what do you think about, you know, what sort of games could his fiance be playing instead of wasting time on those Facebook games?
Yeah, I think, I definitely think Animal Crossing is probably a good start.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
You mentioned the Civ games. Yeah, I think that. Pushmo
is a good one. Yeah, that's a good one
too. Yeah, I would just kind of start with those. Like, if those are the sim games she likes, and just do those, keep with those, and then introduce, you know, games a little bit more depth, maybe more challenging later at different times, or like if you both have a DS, hey, you want to play this game together? Local download play. That would probably be really good too. Like maybe even Triforce Heroes actually,
or Mario Kart maybe. Third person. Mario Kart is something else I'm thinking of.
Yeah, yeah.
I
just kind of recommend it those ways.
Just the basics, hey? Well, there is a new Style Savvy game coming out next month, apparently. I didn't even know this until just looking at their website. I didn't know this was being localized. August 19th, Style Savvy Fashion Forward, which is a critically acclaimed, in the critically acclaimed Style Savvy series. And I'm actually not being sarcastic when I say that. Apparently it's really good.
Yeah. I don't know why I've never touched those types of games because it doesn't sound like it's for me, but they apparently sell amazingly well.
And, I think I've heard.
And they rate high.
Was it Don Koopman that just like loved Style Savvy?
That wouldn't surprise me. He plays all the weird ones.
There's something about that. That's just, that apparently is really good. I hate to admit that the buzz around that series has me interested in a way that I'm not ashamed to be ashamed. I don't know what that means. So there you go. There's some ideas. As for the second ahead.
Actually, I had a comment the first one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Don't be surprised if you don't find anything at all. You know, my wife, the last time my wife touched the Wii U is when we played Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
So, you know, she just really doesn't care about console gaming, and she does her things, I do my thing. We're both happy knowing that the other person has something to do that makes us happy. And for us, that's fine. For me, might be different for you too, might be the same for you too, I don't know. But I bought her a DS and 3DS and she barely touches it.
Yeah.
So
no, I think that's actually a really good point. So because
expect that to be a possible outcome here.
don't be
disappointed. It's just because you like two different things. That's fine. We're two different people.
Yeah. I think that's actually a really good point in that, you know, like my wife plays more Candy Crush than like anything else, but she plays it like crazy. She has probably played that game. I guess it's not Candy Crush, it's Soda Crush or something. I don't know what the difference is.
There's like four or five different ones now, all from King.
Yeah.
They're all equally annoying.
Right. And so, but she's like, she has good etiquette. First of all, she refuses to connect it with Facebook. So I appreciate that.
My wife does the same thing.
She just refuses to log it in with Facebook. Right. But she plays that like crazy too. And she just plays it on her phone and she plays it literally every day. It's crazy. And again, like as much as we kind of joked about, I'm happy that you're happy. part of having a happy marriage, I find, is that sort of acceptance and just learning to appreciate this person for who they are and what they enjoy, and not having all of these, you know, this sort of script. See, this is me getting up on Justin's soapbox like he was on last week. Accepting this person for who they really are and not trying to have them live up to the script of what you expect of them. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying necessarily that even the caller, that is what he was saying. We're kind of jumping on this idea, but just the idea that, you know, that part of, you know, having a happy marriage is just learning that to love and accept and appreciate this person for who they really are and not who you wish they would be, if that makes sense. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that, but that's just kind of adding on to Jesse's thought there.
Yeah. My wife plays a lot of Candy Crush. I think she's in the 500s, 600s, you know, she's insane. Yeah. Where I got stuck in like in the 150s when I played it. Mm-hmm. And the game she plays most is, she still plays EverQuest, which that's been around since for 17 years now. Yep. And she's in probably the top tier rating guild on the server.
That's cool.
So she's out there.
And you know what? I think the same thing, you know, putting yourself in your wife's shoes too. I think just as much where you wish that she would take time to appreciate the games that you like, she probably also would appreciate you really trying to get into and in being taking an interest in what she's interested in as well. And if you've at least made that effort and you end up thinking, this isn't really for me, but I'm glad that you like it, then at least maybe you even have a little bit more of an appreciation for why she really enjoys what she enjoys. So anyway, stepping off the soapbox now, any other thoughts on that before we head on to the second half of this? We're still in the first half of that question.
I think we're done.
Okay. So the next one was the NX and the pre-orders and all that kind of stuff. The real the question here was, how do we think NX is, or Nintendo's going to roll out the NX stuff? I think, like, are we going to have problems with pre-orders, all that kind of stuff? I think we are going to know, this is totally a guess, but we are going to know what this is. I wouldn't be surprised, I guess, if we know ahead of time when pre-orders are going to happen. Actually, no, you know what? I take that back. I think we're going to announce it, and then at least the trend has been that the retailers almost do this independent of Nintendo's input at all. Nintendo will announce something, and then almost immediately pre-orders go up, right?
And if there isn't a launch date or launch price, they'll put placeholders up there. Yeah. So they may put March 31st, $700.
Yeah.
They'll put something obscenely high, which is, it's easier to take the price down than it is to bring the price up when the price is known. So don't be surprised if you see that.
Yeah. And just know that you can cancel your pre-order and they won't charge you until it actually happens. Right.
So they may not give a price point yet, or the exact date of release when they do the big intro, hopefully sometime in September. But, and then they might do another, I'm expecting them not to actually. And then they'll probably come back in January after the holidays to do the final. Here's the price points. Here's the date.
Yeah, I think basically what we're gonna see is a bit. Yeah, I think you're right. They're gonna show us what it is. They're gonna give us some sort of an idea. You know, March 2017, and then they're gonna go silent, and they're gonna remind us how much we all want a mini NES, and then they're gonna harp on that one until after Christmas. And then after that, then they'll remind us, okay, now you can pre-order. I don't think we're going to have pre-orders for the NX before Christmas. I think that'll come after Christmas. So well,
actually, again,
I don't know, but even saying that before.
Retailers will do that independently.
They might do usually, like, yeah, that's probably
as
true.
I think the day after they're announced, pre-orders will be up, I think. At GameStop, Best Buy,
no, you're right. You're right. Just put $5 down sort of deal. Yeah. No, you're right.
They usually want more than $5 for a console.
I guess point is we won't hear anything from Nintendo until after Christmas, other than about official pricing or release date or anything like that, other than the window that they've already said.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Justin, you have anything to add to that?
No, I think it's square.
Right on. All right. You want to read the next email for us then?
Yeah, I do. All right. So the next email comes from Travis. He says, I really enjoy the show. I listen to you guys every week. I just want to let you know an audio issue I'm having that I'm having as this is taking me away from the experience a bit, however. On a regular basis, Jesse sounds very quiet and distant. I'm not sure if there's something wrong with my audio settings on my phone or if this is something you've noticed while listening to your recordings. I do listen to podcasts while driving my car and having my phone sit in the cup holder next to me, so I understand it's not the best way for me to listen. However, I can hear everybody else clearly, and my phone volume is all the way up. When Jesse talks, I have to hold the phone up to my ear. Just want to let you know, please don't fire him. First and foremost, Travis, thank you for that feedback. We are going to fire him. If he can't figure out how to use a microphone, what the hell good is he for? So this is kind of a really good point. So we'll address this. We've had some issues with Jesse's microphone. You know, Jesse normally is a very soft-spoken, elegant kind of man. So he is a bit quieter. And his distance, he seems distant at times, but he is very present with us. But we have changed his microphone settings out.
Yeah, he's actually got a brand new mic, don't you, dude?
Yeah, I bought it.
Blue WS. We actually did it for him. We changed it up. We showed him how to use it properly, like a big boy. and then we flew back to Canada.
I did it all myself. So yeah, I got a new mic. My old mic was XLR that had a conversion to USB, and I figured maybe that had something to do with it. So the new mic is USB native, and now I also readjusted my arm, so I'm physically closer to the mic, and I think that's probably the biggest problem.
Yeah.
So hopefully this week I sound better.
No, it sounds good.
So Travis, thanks. Yeah, it sounds good. Thank you very much for letting us know that. We definitely don't want to make your experience not pleasant. So
and I don't want to be fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, you also want to be fired. We pay him not a lot ever.
Also, coming up, the next Patreon goal is to start our first reality show called You Can Replace Jesse. So
we auditioned other people.
I don't see this.
Yeah, no,
it didn't talk funny.
Yeah, so that's a thing, you know, we're always trying to do that. I think part of that too is that just because of weird audio stuff, you know, this is a little behind the scenes, but usually a lot of times when it goes through Skype, then Skype does whatever weird magic and Justin and Jesse both sound the same level. But when Jesse is recording it, then it ends up being weird. I don't know. Weird
so
audio
short,
technical
Travis,
stuff.
You can blame the challenge you have listening to actually Zach being absent.
Yep. No, yeah, that's part of it for sure.
Again, Zach dropping the ball and hurting our fans.
I'm sorry. You know what? I've got.
I'd like to say we can blame Microsoft because they own Skype now.
Yep.
I'll say either of those are good. But hopefully Travis is a better experience. Let us know. Send us an email or a tweet. We'd love to hear it. Yep. Moving on to our next one. Hey guys, this is from Chris, frequent contributor to the show. He goes, I have a very interesting question. I was looking forward to buying Metroid Prime Federation Force because Blast Ball looked awesome, just like Justin said. Ever since Triforce Heroes Online has become unplayable due to the fact that there's absolutely no one there, I've been against online games. And now I have Blast Ball, and it's great. But why on earth do I want to buy the other part now that I am the sole reason for wanting to buy the game for free? Thanks, Nintendo, but thanks, Nintendo? That's from Chris. So Chris basically says, like, hey, you just sent us out this game. Like, what the hell? I think we actually kind of answered that earlier.
Yeah.
In that the servers are going to go offline after it's out there. This isn't really a demo. It's kind of like
the first hit's free, man. The first hit's free.
Yeah.
And then you're only going to be able to play it for a while, and then you're going to have to pay for it. So that's, they've said that. So, I kind of agree though, like that kind of brings up the point of, is this actually, you know, is this online, whether it's the co-op or the competitive multiplayer, is this a game that you're going to be able to pick up a year from now and actually play it? And, you know, especially during that, you know, we didn't really talk about it in the news, but there was that mission report or whatever that was accompanied by the Blast Ball demo release that was basically a Nintendo Direct of them just playing the game, right? It was like 15 minutes long or something like that.
Yep.
And what they said was, you can play it by yourself, but consider it as a challenge from the developers to see if you can do it. These are levels that are designed to be played with four players. We dare you is almost how I felt. We dare you to try to beat this game by yourself is almost how it felt. So, yeah, I think that's a perfectly valid concern that this game is not going to be, you know, you're going to buy this game and then you're not going to be able to play it with, if there's nobody else there, unless you're really a crazy person, in which case, consider that a challenge from the developers, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. What do you guys think? Jesse, what do you think? Are you, you're not really up for playing this game anyways, cause you're not a shooter guy, but.
Yeah, I'm not a shooter guy. And I agree with the online aspect is, I'm just not a fan of the online in general because of, you know, either you got jerks out there, you have, you know, the people who are really super competitive, and if you're not, you know, that might rub you the wrong way. And what he said, what was said about, you know, Triforce Heroes is if people stop playing, what you can't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So yeah, this game's a pass for me.
I want it to be good. I just want it to be good, but I just don't.
Well, I want it to be good too, because I'm sure other people will enjoy it. I just know it's not a game for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Right on. So last one, I can go ahead and read that. This is from Michael Mancher, I believe. It says, "Hey dads, longtime listener, first time caller. I was wondering, I was wondering if you guys collect Nintendo licensed action figures. The world of Nintendo figures range between awesome and okay. Also, Bandai and Max Factory have amazing selections with their SH figure arts and Figma lines, respectively, for the Nintendo and Smash Brothers collector who wants more than just amiibo. It would be great if you guys talked a little bit of toys/collector-oriented content in its own segment. I can see the bumper being the Zelda music when Link opens a chest, find a new item. Thanks for the great show. Keep up the awesome work." So, yeah, what do I have here? What do I have? As far as loot.
While he's digging around, I really don't collect anything other than a few amiibo, just because, yeah, if I did, I would go insane with it. Because
yeah.
I get into that collector mentality.
Oh, me too, dude.
And so I know to try to keep my limits before I start.
Yeah, I try and do that. I try sometimes. I usually just see if it's something that's cool. It's more for me, like spending $15 on amiibo is okay, but it's almost like if it's not within impulse purchase range, then it's almost,
you know, a lot of those things like from Jack Specific and stuff, they're like $30-$40. I'm like, yeah, that's not impulse buy.
Yeah, that's more where I go. Like those World of Nintendo figures that are like, you know, the little ones are like what, like $7 or something. The big ones are like maybe 15. That's about as big as I go. Justin, I know you have the Nendroid Mario, don't you?
Yeah, I do. So I was actually just kind of looking up what it was right now. So I don't collect them. So I actually have the, like, I don't want to say I'm a collector because then I'm just going to, like, collect them. But when I see one that I really like, I will pick it up. And I actually have the Nendroid Link, the Wind Waker version.
Oh, cool.
I bought it last year for myself. I think it was, like, as a birthday present, like, $50. And I was like, you know what? This is something I would not normally purchase for myself, but I'm going to do that right now. Sweet. And I did. And I really, really loved it. I want to just bear with me one second. I want to find the company that I use for. There are some amazing figures out there. Bear with me one second. You're going to find it. Do you want to vamp for a second there, Zach? Can I find it?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, too, like the World of Nintendo ones that I have, I think my kids actually must have been in here and have stolen them off my desk because they're not here. But I've got like the Star Fox one. There's like a Samus one in like the purple gravity suit that I have. And then the smaller ones, I've got like a Piranha Plant. I saw a few of them that I was like, hey, you know what? They don't have an amiibo of this character. So I'm going to put this next to my amiibos and stuff. So I have like Petey Piranha and Waluigi and a couple of different things like that. So I guess there's the Funko Pop ones that I have. There are no Nintendo ones for that, but I've got like Rocket Raccoon and like Tracer from Overwatch and R2-D2, you know, stuff like that. So those Funko Pop figures I have too, but.
Yeah. So I did finally find the ones I was looking for, and you were right in your statement here excuse me, Michael, in regards to the fig art ones. So actually I have in my, I had actually an office when I worked in an office. I brought it home in my kind of like Nintendo studio area now, but I have the SH fig art ones, and I have Super Mario, Luigi, and I have the play sets, I think A and B or whatever. So I actually made like a scene from Super Mario with him jumping up and jumping on a Koopa and busting a block and getting a coin. So those ones I really like. Those ones are about 25 to 30 bucks each. They're not too shabby. I find the articulation is really good, very easily to move. I think they just feel a little bit more, I don't want to say authentic, but a little bit more quality for the made. So that's really cool. Actually, they have a Fire Mario one that looks super cool, and a Bowser, actually. The Bowser is like 65 bucks, and it looks a fair size. But the cool part is you can change out like their hands, their faces. I really like those ones. The other truth of the matter is, like, for the Nendroid ones, I actually like have an Amazon wish list that I kind of add on there, and I actually have on there like the Mega Man stuff, because they've got some new Mega Man ones. But the Nendroid ones I find are more expensive. They're around 45 to 50 if you can catch them on a good sale. The SH fig art ones is about 25 to 35. So those are a little bit more impulse buy, but I also don't, too. I think the point that Zach and Jess are making is I don't want them to be an impulse buy, area, because then it's just a bad place to be. But those are really cool ones. I love the, and actually even looking at the Nendroid ones as well, like they've got different versions of Link. They've got the, Majora's, I think this is the Majora's, yeah, Majora's Mask one. They've got where he actually comes like with the mask and the shield.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Those ones are really, really cool. I really, those are ones I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it, but I so want to do it.
Yeah.
They've got a Link Between Worlds. They got a version of him that looks just killer. Like, it's like, I almost wish I didn't open this page.
The other ones that I have here they're such an impulse buy I just love them just because they're so little is the tiny little, I think it's World of Nintendo, but they're almost like micro figures. They're not posable in any way. Mm-hmm. But they're like the size of a quarter maybe. And you can buy them like three in a pack. You can buy like the little micro scenes or whatever. I think they've had a Mario line and then a Wind Waker line. And so I've kind of bought a bunch of those, and I have those that just kind of are scattered around. You know, you can kind of, you know, if you're going somewhere with the kids, you just kind of throw a couple of them in my pocket even, and just be like, you know, like at Walmart or whatever, you just like, here, pull these out of my pocket and give one to each of the kids. And they, you know, immediately start fighting over who gets which one, which then the entire thing is backfired, right? But you know, the hope is that, you know, you can have them or whatever. They're cool on in big groups. You can have little, you know, big groups of these tiny little figures, and I really like those too.
Yeah, my wife is going to New York at the end of September for a girls' weekend, and I'm giving her a little small shopping list of things in the Nintendo store to pick up.
Oh,
and
dude,
I'm pretty sure these are going to make it on the list.
Oh, I might need to, yeah. When is she going?
She's going the.
Is she going to do? Will she do shopping for me too?
if you give me the list, I can probably try and get her. Shopping for you as well.
Nice, right on. I don't know. We'll see. If student loans come in by then. Anyway, right on. Okay. Well, we're just about done the show here. Do we have anything else, Justin? As we kind of round out the show, what do we have coming in the next few weeks?
As we ran out of the show, a couple things to be aware of. If you're not, you should be playing Donkey Kong Country. That's what we've been playing for the month of July. Check it out. We mentioned before, if you're a Patreon subscriber, you guys are going to head over. Every vote counts. You can change the world. Every vote counts.
Make Nintendo Dads great again.
We'll be playing in August. Yeah, exactly. Make Nintendo Dads great again. Next week, we got a regular recording. And then the Sunday following, which I believe is the 7th, is when you can expect to hear our Donkey Kong Country Retro Rewind.
No, that's next week, dude.
As well.
No, that's next week.
And Patreon supporters, you can also be expecting our Patreon Hangout very soon, which we'll be announcing. Whether all three of us are there, or maybe it's just Zach again going solo, we're not 100% sure. But those are the kind of things that we are up to, guys.
Right on. Absolutely. Very cool. So go and play some Donkey Kong Country. I've been playing the crap out of that game. I'm surprised at how much I've been enjoying that. So, right.
Such a good game.
It's so good. Right on. Well, if you want to follow us and see how good we are, I don't know. I don't know where that's going. Follow us on all the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Nintendo Dads. You can email us, nintendodads@gmail.com. You can watch us. You can follow us on Twitch and YouTube, twitch.tv/Nintendo Dads, and of course, youtube.com/c/Nintendo Dads. And if you add a slash live on Wednesday nights, you will find us and watch us. So that's a thing. You can call in and leave us a voicemail, 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Be like Dave and Brandon and, help old Mildred out. I don't know. Does her name keep changing? I don't know. If you want to keep...
I was
gonna ask you keep that. Pretty consistent with Mildred.
Yeah, there you go. If you want to buy some sweet Nintendo Dads merchandise, go over to tiny.cc/Nintendo Dads store. And, of course, big thanks to OC Remix for music throughout the show, as well as to Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard for Mega Dads for our awesome artwork. Of course, if you want to change the world, which I know that you do, head over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. We have more and more people every month filling out those reviews, and you guys are just amazing. Spreading the love, spreading the Nintendo Dad's word, and the Nintendo Dad's gospel around the world. You're amazing. Finally, if you want to subscribe, you can do so over at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Justin, and for Jesse, we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
She sells seashells by the seashore.
All right. We are...
Live.
We're live?
No,
live. Oh, that whole thing was live, dude. We've been live for like a good minute.
We're live right now. Live from Wednesday evening. It's Saturday night. No.
Live
ready,
from...
one, two.
Okay, can we just stop confused. For a second? Live from Wednesday night. It's Saturday
evening.
I know.
Live from my basement. It's Wednesday night. I play shows. All right. Eric Erickson.
All right.
Jesse Wallach. All right, here we go, folks. Ready? One, two, three.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.